Begin the current daf in Sanctus Baba Kama daf Chav Zayin. Begin on the second line down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had mentioned in the previous Mishnah, the halacha of Adam Mud La'olam. A person is always liable for damages that he does, whether Shagig, Mezid, Einus, Ratzin. So the Gemara explained the source for that. And then Rabbah, he said that there's many different gradations of the halacha of Shagig, where by damages, which is the halacha we're discussing here in this Masechta, it's always going to be chayiv. But then they differentiate regarding different areas of halacha regarding what type of a shagig it is. And then once we had introduced Rabbah, he said many different halachas regarding the halacha of our Mishnah of Adam Hamazik, which is regarding a person that damages something. And on that, Rabbah said that there are differentiations regarding if, let's say, someone already began the act of the hezek, someone threw it off the roof, and then someone else comes along and then finishes it off. So then that depends regarding regular damages, that is going to be pater. And then regarding the halacha about when if someone threw a child off the roof and then someone else caught it with a sword, that was the halacha we finished on the top of this amid regarding the machlekes, Rebbe Yehuda ben Maaseir and the Rabbanan. Now the Gemara continues with similar type of halachas. Bas shayr. Let's say as in the previous case where someone had thrown a child off the roof. Now the previous case was then someone else caught the child before he hit the ground, he would have died anyway, caught it with the sword. That was that machlekes. Now in this case, is if a shur hamu'ed goes and then v'kibli b'karnav, as the child's falling down from the roof, he falls onto the horns of the ox, so, and then the child dies. Says the Gemara, plukter Rabbi Shmuel b'nei shal b'yichem b'rekev Rabbanan. That will be tali in the following machlekes regarding the halacha if the owner of the ox, the shur hamu'ed, is going to be chayiv kaifer. We know when the ox kills somebody, when he's a shur hamu'ed, the owner is chayiv kaifer. In this case, would the owner of the ox be chayiv kaif or not, is totally the machlekes Rabbi Yechim Breker and the Rabbanan household. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Pasuk in Shmois by Shur HaMu'ed, which talks about that when the ox kills a person, the owner is going to be chayiv kaif. The words are benasin pidyon nafshi. He has to give the redemption money of his soul. Now, whose soul is that talking about? That's a machlekes. Tanakhama, the Rabbanan hold, is Demei Nizik, the guy who was damaged, who was killed, who was murdered, that person who killed him, the owner of that ox has to give the money to the Yerushim of how much the guy who died was worth, if it, let's say, would have been sold as a slave. Rabbi Shmuel ben Noish Rabbi Yechim Berekoim, he says, no, Demei Mazik. The guy who's the owner of the ox, he needs redemption money. He needs atonement for his soul, not for that guy's soul. He has to pay his value to the inheritors. So it comes out, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you pay with the kafer of the Mazik, that's how you evaluate it, so he's going to have to pay kafer. Now, but according to the Rabbanan that say you evaluated based on the guy who was killed, now that child at the time of the murder, when the ox killed it with its horns, wasn't worth a penny because he was gavur katela. He was going to die anyway. As he's flowing through the ear, yes, even if you say that the one who did it, as we said by Rehuda Maseir, that Shakir Misasa, they did it, doesn't make a difference, but there's no kaifer because kaifer is based on the evaluation of the value of the nizik when he died, and at the time of death, it wasn't worth anything. So that would be telling the machlekes, whose value do you give? To me, mazik, you give. To me, nizik, there's no value. You wouldn't give any kaifer. Another halacha from Amar Rabbah, continuing on this theme about falling or being thrown from a roof. Nafa Miresh Agag. If somebody falls from the top of a roof, the nitka be'ish, and he gets inserted as when he falls and lands into a woman. So chayiv bedal dvarim. So he's liable, not for five, as we'll explain shortly, he's liable for four types of damages, which Rashi points out, obviously then has to be talking about when it was what's called a ruach mitzuya. It was a wind that's common enough, you should have been aware of it, which therefore that makes at least karv l'mezid. He didn't do it deliberately, he didn't jump off the roof, but you should have expected that if you're in that area that the wind's going to blow you off. So that's why, as we explained in the previous daf, the liability of the net of tzar, reaper, shebis, and bish is only when it's at least close to being deliberate. So you'll be chai for the dalad varm, for injuring this woman. Now, however, in such a situation, if let's say this guy got blown off the roof and fell into his yavama, he would not acquire her in that situation. Now, that's in spite of the fact that we're learning yavama stuff in the Gimel Beis, that if someone has bia with his yavama, whether b'shegu or whether b'mezid, he has acquired her. Now that's only at least when he intends for an act of cohabitation, albeit with a different woman. So he made a mistake. He didn't intend to do it with this woman. But here, similar to like the svar of Malach's Machsheves by Shabbos, he didn't intend to do an act of cohabitation. It's not an act of bia. The pasuk says, yavami yavi aleha. He has to be intending for an act of bia, and he didn't intend for an act to be, he just fell down and got inserted into her, therefore he hasn't acquired her as a Yavama, and therefore let's say one of the other brothers would go in the interim and do a Maimer with her, which is the Rabbinic Kedushin the Yavama, he would make it invalid, and the brothers who already had Bia with her, because that's not considered a act of Bia, because it wasn't intended for an act of cohabitation, hence it will not acquire by the Yavama. Now the Gemara explains that this that we said there's a liability only for four things, not what we usually call the chamisha devarim, the five things, nezik, tzar, reaper, shevas, and baiches, is because chayev ben nezik, when this guy fell off the roof with enough of a common wind that he should have been aware of, and he fell on the woman and injured her, so he'll be liable for the damages, betzar for the pain, bereaper for the doctor bills, beshevas for the amount of work that she lost now, of a baiches loy, but for the humiliation that this woman suffered by this guy falling into her, that he's not going to be liable for. And the reason is, it's not like in the Mishnah later on, Peivav Mabez, that says, Ein Chayv Al HaBoishes, a person not liable for humiliating someone, Ad Shehi Miskaved, until they intend to do that. Now here, although maybe there's Karv L'mezid, there's a Pshia, but he didn't intend to humiliate her. Yeah, you should have been more careful, you should have known better, fine, I'll be Chayv for the Dalvam, but not for that Fev from the HaBoishes, because he didn't intend to do this act to her, and hence he's not liable for the humiliation. Another Lacha from V'Amar Rabbah, says Nafal Miresha Gag Baruch She'ein Mitzuya. Somebody's working on the roof, he's doing something, and an unexpected wind comes and blows him off the roof. The Hizik Ubayish, he falls on somebody, thus injuring the person and humiliating the person. So Chayv Al Nezik, he's liable for the damages. And you're not Chayv for the Dalad Varm because it's unexpected. We said there's no Peshia. But and Upata B'Dalad Varm, and therefore you're going to be exempt from the Dalad Varm. You're not liable for any one of them, not just Baishas, but any of them. Now, let's say Beruach Mitsuya, the Hizik Ubayish. Let's say the wind was an expected wind, he got blown off and he fell on someone, injured him, and embarrassed him. So, Chayiv B'dal Dvarim, you'll be liable for four things, Nezik, Tzar, Ripri, and Sheves, but Upata L'Abayishas, you'll be exempt for the humiliation, as we said, because it's not something that you intended to do. Now, V'imnes Hapich, let's say, however, when he started falling, he then flipped himself over, intending for his own pleasure to fall on the person that was in the way over there, then chayiv afal abayish. Then actually he'll be liable even for the humiliation, even though he's not intending to humiliate the person, he just wants to land on somebody, still that will make him enough already liable for the humiliation. The time like Lina Braisa. The Braisa says, Mimash Meshenema, if from the fact that it's understood that this is the Pasuk says in Devarim, Vishalcha Yada, where the Pasuk there begins in Devarim Chafei Yeralf, it's Tomat Ki Natsu Anashim Yachta. If there's two people that are fighting, a man and his friend, his brother, now the woman of one of them comes to the defense of her husband to protect him from the one that's fighting with him. So what does she do? As the Pasuk says, she stretches out her hand. So, says the Braisa, if she's stretching out her hand to attack the assailant of her husband, don't we know that she's holding on to him? So what is the Pasuk teaching us when it says at the end, says that she holds on to his embarrassing part, his private parts? What is it saying? Of course she's stretching out her hand, of course she's holding on to it. Says the Braisa, it's coming to tell you, as long as her intention is to harm him, meaning even if it's just like the Pasuk saying, just to hold on to him, even though she's not intending to humiliate him, still it's b'mavushav and she'll be liable for the busha. So that's where we see this halacha that this guy flipped over to land on this guy. He doesn't want to humiliate him, but he wants to, he's intending to harm the guy because he wants to land on this guy. That's already enough of intentionality to be chayiv for b'ishas, even though it wasn't intentionality for humiliation per se. Another halacha from V'Amar Rabbah says, again, continue on this theme of Adam HaMazik, which is the topic of our Mishnah, about a person that harms other people. Hanich legecheles al libay v'mes. If let's say somebody puts a coal on somebody's heart, and because of that, the guy dies. Pater, the guy's exempt, because the guy who died should have taken it off his heart. He didn't murder you. You murdered yourself by not taking it off your heart. Now, al bigdav v'nisra, but let's say put on someone else's clothing, and then burnt the other guy's clothing. Then chayiv. Then the mazik is going to be chayiv, because this that the guy didn't take it off, he thought, what's the big deal? I'll take him to court and he'll pay me back. So that's not I'm causing the damage. This guy did it and I knew I could get my money back. Now Amar Rava, he says, Tarvay Tanini. Actually, both these halacha of Rabbah are brought in Tanoic sources. Aliba, regarding the halacha, when you put on someone's heart where you're going to be exempt, it's not like the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, "Kavash olav l'teicha ur or l'teicha mayim." If somebody holds someone down in a fire or in the water, and the guy can't get out and he dies, meaning because he's holding him down there until he dies, well then chayiv, then the murderer is going to be liable for the death. Now, but let's say he pushes him into a fire, or he pushes him into the water, and he could get out, and he doesn't, and he dies, so then Pati is going to be exempt again, because, okay, yeah, we put you in a difficult situation, but you're supposed to get out, you caused the death, just like the coal where you should have taken it off from the heart. Now, big doy, if it's, he puts on his garment that we said you're going to be chayiv, that's also the tana, like in the Mishnah later on, the Tzadik Beis Amid Aleph. The Mishnah there says, if somebody tells someone else, kares ksuse, you know what, go ahead, tear my shirt, shav es kadi, break my jug. And if the guy goes out and does it, he's chayiv, he's going to be liable. Because what the victim was saying was, if you want to, go ahead, rip it, and you'll have to pay. Now, but if he specifies and he says, I'm a nas lifter, go ahead, rip it, on the condition that if you do it, you'll be exempt, then pata, then of course you're going to be pata, because that guy said with the purpose of you being exempt. But when he just says, break it, yeah, go ahead, break it, but then I'm going to take you to court. So you see that when it comes to somebody's garment, the fact that the guy didn't stop him is not a reason to exempt that person, and then you're going to be chayiv. Now, related discussion to this halacha, Abayi Rabba asked, "Hiniach gachelas aliv avdei mahu." Let's say somebody puts the coal on somebody's slave on his heart. What's the halacha in that case? The question is, "Kegufay dami?" Do we say just like a person's own body, which we said if you put the coal on somebody's heart, you're going to be exempt? So to be put on the slave's heart, you're going to be exempt because the slave should have taken it off. Or do we say that it's like his garment? When you said it's like his money, when you said, oh, my money, my slave, I don't have to take it off. It's you put it on, I'll take you to court and get the money. So which one is it? Is he pater or is he chayiv? Is like his body, and therefore he's pater, or is like his money, which it is his money, and therefore he's going to be chayiv? Now, imtim tzolemiku gufi dami, if you say that, no, it's like the owner's body is the same as the slave's body, because the slave ended up killing himself by not taking off the coal from his heart, and therefore the guy who did it would be exempt. What would be the halacha if he put it on his ox? Because maybe do you say that the ox should have gotten it off? Or do you say that it's the mammon of the owner, and therefore, no, go ahead, kill my ox, I'll take you to court. On that hadar pashta, he then later resolved it, and he said, avdei is kegufay, a slave who has intelligence definitely is like the owner's body, where he should have taken it off, and therefore he didn't murder him, the slave murdered himself, and therefore it's exempt. Whereas shayre kememayne, but an ox, is like the owner's money, where the ox doesn't have intelligence to remove it, and therefore it's like burning someone else's garment, where go ahead, do it, I'm going to take you to court, and then he's going to be chayv. Hanuloch Kitzad Regel, we shall return to you the second parak in Masechet Baba Kama, parak Kitzad Regel. And with that, we begin the third parak in Masechet Baba Kama, parak Hamaniach. The Mishnah opens up with the halachas of Rishus HaRabim, which the next few Mishnahs continue on that theme about damages that happen in the public domain. Again, continuing regarding person and his monetary items. So Mishnah says, Hamaniach is a kad Rishus HaRabim. Somebody puts a jug in the public domain. Now, Uba'acha v'nitkel ba. Now somebody else comes and he trips on this guy's jug, b'shavra, and thus he breaks that guy's jug, says the Mishnah Pater. The Gemara will explain the reason, but the one who broke it is exempt. Now, v'im huzik ba. Now let's say it's the other way around. Let's say the guy who tripped on it, now he got injured from falling on this guy's jug. Then balachav is chayv b'nezke, then the owner of the barrel is going to be liable for the damages, which the first thing the Gemara is going to open up with is going to say, wait a second, weren't you talking about a jug? How'd you get to a barrel? But either way, is that the owner of the jug, of the barrel, will be liable for the damages to that person. So he's getting definitely the lower end of the deal. If someone breaks his thing, he's exempt. And if someone gets injured by his thing, then the owner of the jug will be liable for those damages. So the Gemara opens up by asking, wait a second. Pasach Bekad B'Sayim B'Chavis. You opened up this case describing it as someone putting his jug in Rishus HaRabim. Then you ended by saying when someone gets injured in his jug, you said the owner of the barrel is going to be liable. Are we talking about a jug or are we talking about a barrel? Now, the Gemara says this is not the only place where we have this contradiction. It's not Nami. We have a Mishnah later on, the Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, that does the same thing. It opens up by saying, Zeba b'chavitay v'zeba b'kairasay. Two guys walking in the street. One guy's coming with his barrel. Other guy's coming with his beam. Nishbur kadesh shel zeba b'kairasay shel zeh. So the Mishnah describes a case over there. If, let's say, this guy's jug breaks because of that guy's beam, because they bang into each other, so pater, so the owner of the beam is going to be exempt, and the reason being is because they both have permission to walk in the public domain. It's not my liability any more than you for your thing breaking, and therefore he's exempt. Now the question is, but pasach b'chavis, it opened up by describing zeba b'chavite, this guy's coming with his barrel. V'sayim b'kad. Then it concludes by saying, Nishbur kadesh al zeh. This guy's jug broke. What was it? Was it a jug or was it a barrel? Utznan nami. So too we have a Mishnah later on, Kof Tes Vav Med Aleph. So too it does the same thing. Says Zeba b'chabit eshal yayin. This guy was coming in the public domain with his barrel of wine. V'zeba b'kadesh al dvash. And this guy was coming with his jug of honey. Now the case was, Nistiko chavesh al dvash. The guy who owned the honey, his barrel of honey broke. So what did the other guy do? This guy poured out his wine. And he saved his friend's honey inside his barrel. Now the reason why he did that was because honey is very expensive. So although he's losing his wine, but it's worth it to save that guy's honey, which is much, much more expensive. Still the Mishnah there says, he doesn't get paid back for the amount of wine that he lost doing his friend a favor. He gets paid like a regular worker would get paid for the amount of work that he did to help this guy with his honey. That's the mission over there. But one thing the Gemara wants from the halacha is pasach bekad. It opens up by saying that zebo bekadish al dvash. This guy was walking on the street with his jug of honey b'sayim b'chavis, and it ends by saying nistika chavish al dvash. That the guy's not that his jug of honey broke, but rather that his barrel of honey broke. So which one was it? So Amar Papa. Papa says from all these mishnayos what it's telling you is Hainukad, Hainukhavis, to say that the jug is the same thing as a barrel. In other words, the terminology is interchangeable and it could mean either one. And that's why the Mishnayis specifically go ahead and change the term in the middle of the same case. So the Gemara is Lamay Nafkim. What's the halachic relevancy? Why did we need to say this in Mishnayis to tell us that Kad is the same thing as Chavis? So the Gemara says, Lamekechumemker. It's for business, for trade, to say that if, let's say, someone has a seller has something that he wants to sell. And even if he makes up with the guy before and says, I'm going to give you a barrel of this, which sounds like big, that's what the word chavis usually sounds like, he can still give him a kad, which is something smaller, which we use to translate as a jug. But the halach is, but he can choose to give him whichever one he wants to, because again, the words chavis and kad are interchangeable. Now, the Gemara one is heichid dami, but what would the case be talking about? And that is, ilema ba'astra the kad lekar chavis, if it's in a place where the word kad does not connote a chavis. And b'chavis lekar kad, and no one calls a chavis a kad, meaning when you use the word kad, everyone means a jug. And when you say chavis, everyone means a barrel. Well, halekar, but no one calls it that. So how can you say that that's the halacha, but we go based on trade, based on what people terms are, and we know that that's what it means. How can you say he can give whatever he wants to? So says the Gemara, loy tzricha. The case would be, the rubu karula lekad kada, ulechavita chavita. You're right. Most of the people call a kad, and that's what we're translating as such, as a jug, and most of the people call a chavis as a barrel. Now, but v'ikanami dekar lechavita kadu lekad chavita. But there are some people that call a chavis a kad and call a kad a chavis. Now, ma'od etemezil basaruba. You would have thought, but still, we go after the majority, as we know. This in many areas of halacha, you go after the majority, and therefore, since the majority call a kad, a chavis, then if you're telling the guy I'm selling you a chavis, you can't go ahead and give him a kad. That's what the Gemara continues on at base. That's what these mishnayos are teaching by interchanging the words, that Kamash Malan, as we continue to Talmud Beis, the Ein Holcha Mamaman Acharoiv. On monetary law, we don't go after majorities. In other words, when there's a doubt, for example, in the case that we're discussing over here, and so too, there's a similar case later on of Menvav Med Aleph, where if let's say someone sells an ox to his friend, and turns out that this ox is a nakan, it's an ox that gores, it's a dangerous ox. Now, you don't say that you go after the majority, which most people that buy oxen are using them for plowing, and therefore it's a mekech tois, and you got to give me back my money because I can't use a shor nachen as an ox to do my domesticated work of plowing. And that is that you don't go after the majority. Rather, the seller says, look, ha-moitze mechavei olav araya, you want your money back, you got to bring proof. In other words, he could say that I sold it to you for slaughtering. Slaughtering, it doesn't make a difference what type of ox, you're going to kill it right away. That's the halacha that we're teaching over here in the Mishnayos, that even if you're selling him a kad or a chavis, you can go ahead and give him the other thing, because, look, we don't go after rave by mammon, where you want your money back, you have to prove that it's not what I sold it for, because we don't go after majorities by din of mammon. And that's the same thing over here. Yeah, most people call it kad a kad and chavis a chavis, but regarding mekech memcha, that it would be valid if he had already sold them and given that, because you want your money back. That is something that we don't go after rave by mammon. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that says, so we said, if let's say this guy had his jug or his barrel, whichever one, and it was in the public domain, and some guy comes along and he trips, slips on this guy's jug, and he breaks it, so he's going to be exempt. So the Gemara asks, am I potter, why is the guy who broke the jug exempt? He should have watched where he's going. Now, Tosfos points out that the Gemara did not ask regarding the other halacha, the Mishnah, that why is it that when this guy tripped, he gets injured? Why is it that the owner of the jug has to pay for the damages? You could ask the same question as the Gemara is asking, where he should have watched where he's going. The fact that he's injured is not my responsibility. And that Tosfos says no, because actually it's more of an obligation of someone who's walking in the street to be careful not to harm than be harmed. Be harmed, there's no reason why you should think he should be harmed. Where you're going, you got to be careful you don't harm somebody else. So therefore, the Gemara's question is only regarding the halacha about breaking. Why you exempt when you break the guy's things? You should have watched where you're going. If you didn't, you're liable. Adam would lailam. Why is it that you're exempt? So I'm debay Rav, Mishmei de Rav. So they said in the Shiva of Rav, in the name of Rav, that it's talking about b'mamali rishus Rav kulachovias. We're talking about a guy. He didn't just put one jug. He filled up the whole public domain full of his barrels. So there, it's not something that you could say, I should have been careful. The guy, he has no rights to put his stuff over here. It's not like I could have gone around it. And therefore, the fact that now tripped in it and broke it, I'm going to be exempt. Shmuel, he says, a different case. You could say the halachas toma when it was in the dark. So therefore, you tell me I should have watched where I'm going. How am I supposed to be able to see? It's dark at night. What should I expect this guy having a jug in the middle of the street? And if I break it, I'm going to be exempt. Rabbi Yechanan, he says, b'keren zavis. He says, it's talking about in a corner. So for example, let's say you have two mavois, either like a T or like an L. When you're coming from one and turning the bend, coming around the corner, so then when this guy's turning the bend, he can't see that. So you can't say he should have looked and watched where he's going. How am I supposed to know that it's deer? I could only see it once I turned, then I'm already on it and broke that thing. And that's why, again, here the negligence is on the guy who put his jug there, as in all these answers are saying, and not on the other mu'il ha'ilam of the guy who broke the jug. Now, Amar Papa here reflects regarding these three answers the Gemara gave. Now, Mishnah is not precise. Either like Shmuel's interpretation or like Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation, where the guy who placed it wasn't negligent. As we said, either it's because it was just nighttime, but I wasn't negligent. During the day, everyone would see my jug there, or that it was in the corner, but it wasn't a negligence that I put it there. Now that's why we could understand the halacha, the way the Mishnah said it, regarding the guy who broke it is going to be exempt, only in the case of nitka, where he tripped on it. But if let's say he deliberately broke it, so of course you're going to be chayiv for breaking this guy's jug, his barrel. So that makes sense why it's specifically the case of nitka. But says Rav Papa, the Iker Rav, but if you're going to say the case of the Mishnah is like Rav, who said this guy filled up, he took over the whole street, put his barrels all over, asked Rav Papa, my Yuri Nitka, then why does the Mishnah say the guy who breaks it is exempt only when he trips in it? I feel a Shevet Nami, even if he goes out and breaks it, the nerve, how could you go out and, where are we supposed to walk? Of course you could break it. You're going to be exempt because this guy has no rights. He's the one that broke it because you shouldn't have put it over here. So why is it said only by Nitka? It should be even by Shava, even when he actively breaks it. So the Gemara answers, Amrav Zmin Mishmei de Rav. He says, you're right. Who had dinda fila shaver? According to Rav, the interpretation of the halacha of the Mishnah would be even if the guy comes and breaks it. Now, v'hai de tani nitka, so why did it say in the Mishnah only if he trips in it and then that's how he breaks it? It's aide de boi le misna sefer. It's only because we wanted to say the other halacha of the Mishnah, of the sefer, that says, not when he breaks it and breaks that guy's stuff, but if him huzik, but if he trips and he gets injured, that's what we said in the Mishnah, Bal Chavos Chayv Ben Niskay. The owner of the barrel is liable for the damages of the guy who got injured on his barrel. Now that halacha is the Dafka Nitkal. That's only if he tripped and fell on that guy's thing, and that's how he got injured. But Aval Shever, but if it would have said a case of deliberately breaking intentionally, and then the guy who broke it, he actually got injured by the shards that came out because he broke the guy's barrel, then loy. Then actually not. Then actually the owner of the barrel would be exempt from the injuries. Now, my time, what's the reason? Huda Azek Anafshe. He went and injured himself. Now, that's why, Kutani Resha, that's why in the Resha it also said Nitkal, a case of tripping, but you're right, that you're exempt from breaking that guy's stuff, even if you do it deliberately. We said Nitkal because of the next case has to be only by Nitkal. When he gets injured, then the guy has to pay him, but if he had deliberately broken, then the guy, you did it, you harmed to yourself, you clumsy, you went and you broke it, and now you got hurt, that's not my liability, and then he would be potter. Now, Amalei Reb Abel Ravashi, he's going back on the halacha of the Mishnah, which is a fourth approach. We had three approaches. Now, he's going back and he says, no, you don't have to say that Tomat, that it's at nighttime in the dark. Neither do you have to say that it's in a corner. He's saying that even if it's, let's say, in broad daylight, still the guy that trips on it and breaks it would be exempt. Now, the question that was posed, which all these three Amirom were coming to address, was, what do you mean? Look where you're going. it's not the owner's negligence. It's something that you could have been careful, and therefore it's your liability that you broke it. Why are you potter? And that says Rabbi Abba to Rabbi Ashi, Hachi Amri b'ma Rav Mishmed Rabula. This is what they say in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabula. Lafisha in darkon shel b'nei adam lesbayin b'drachem. It's not normative for a person to be careful and look where he's going when he's walking, to contemplate things. People walk. And therefore, although, yes, there's a principle of Adam Mulaylam, but it's your negligence that you put it in, because what do you expect? We should be looking out. Who should think that there's going to be a jug on the floor? And therefore, that's why he's going to be exempt. Now, relating to this halacha, the Gemara says, Habu Uvde bin Arda, there was such an incident in the Harda, which is in Bavel, v'chayiv Shmuel, and Shmuel obligated the one who tripped to pay for what he broke. And so too, b'pumbadisa, there was such another incident in Pumbadisa, also in Bavel, v'chayiv Rava, and Rava made the one who tripped and broke it liable for the damages. So the Gemara asks and says, Bishle Mishmuel Kishmaite. We understand Shmuel is going according to his interpretation of the Mishnah, which he explained that the only reason the guy who trips and breaks it is going to be potter is because it's Tomat at nighttime in the dark. But in the broad daylight, he is Chayiv. So that's why in this case, Shmuel said, yeah, you tripped, but you should have seen it, and you are Chayiv. El Rava, but Rava, Lame Kishmuel, Sri, so the Gemara, let's say, seemingly would say he also held the guy Chayiv. Seemingly is because he would hold like Shmuel, that it's also only potter by nighttime, but during the daytime, you Chayiv. On that, Amar Papa, he says, no. Could be he would hold like those in Eretz Yisrael who hold that you're always potter, because the guy doesn't have to be watching where he's walking. You shouldn't put your stuff in the Rosh Hashanah. But the reason why Rava made the guy Chayiv was it was Tomai Karna de Atzrahava. It was the corner which is near the pressing house where they press the grapes. The Kivan de Bishus Kavdi, since the guy who put it there with rights, because that was their custom. When the pressing house was full of people, you can't just leave stuff. There's no room for putting your stuff down over there. So whoever would come afterwards when it was already occupied would put their stuff down in their shusharam there in the corner, and they would wait till the guys come out to bring in their stuff. So since the guy who put it there did put it there with rights, the whole discussion over here is discussing, although Adam Ulaylam, but not if you're the one who's responsible for the loss. Your stuff broke because it's your negligence. Here it's not his negligence. He has the rights. That's what people always do. People put it there, and therefore you should have been careful and looked where you're going. And therefore, when you break it, that's why Rav was Machayev the person. But could be that he holds that generally the person would be exempt. But this case is different because the guy put it there with Rishus, with permission. Now the Gemara continues with the next discussion, which will relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Shalach le Rav Chizla of Nachman. Rav Chizla sent to Rav Nachman the following question. He says, Hare Amru, they say, in other words, the custom of the judges when they collect when somebody kicks his friend, when it's lirikuva, when the guy kicks him with his knee, then shalish, then he has to pay 3 slaim for the baishas, for the humiliation that he embarrassed the guy when he injured him, because there's a greater embarrassment when the guy kicks him with his knee than when he pushes him with his hand. So it's greater baishas, that's going to be 3 slaim. Now, ulabi'ita, when he kicks him with his foot, that's even more embarrassing, that's chamesh, that's going to be 5 slaim. Now, velas noikeres, now when he knocks him with the saddle of his donkey, and that's how he hits him, that's really embarrassing, that's really humiliating, that's shloish esrei, he has to pay 13 slaim for the humiliation, besides all the other obligations of damage and whatever happens of the injury. Now, but the question that Rav Chizda asked Rav Nachman was, but let's say lefanda demara, let's say the handle of a shovel, or velekufina demara, or let's say the blade itself, the iron part of which is near the hole that it goes into, if he, let's say, knocks him with that, my, what would the halacha be over there besides the damages? For the humiliation, how much would that be? I know that it depends on how humiliating it is. What would the halacha be over there? So Shalach Leis, Rav Nachman sent back to Rav Chizda, he said, Chizda, Knasa Kamagvis Babavel? Why are you asking me such a question? You live in Bavel. You're collecting Knasas? The halacha is when it's not exactly a damage that you're compensating, which humiliation is not an actual damage to compensate, that's called Dina Knasas. Although it's a biblical halacha, it's a penalty. That, because requires smicha, is not collectible in Bavel. So he's saying, what are you asking me this question at all? What's going on? Why do you think you'd even be able to collect the Baishas if you're in Bavel? Now, moreover, Rav Nachman sent him, Emily Gufer de Uvde Hechavda. First, tell me, what was this story with the handle of the shovel or the shovel itself that you're asking me this question regarding somebody, some guy getting humiliated from another guy knocking with the stick, asking how much is the baishas? So, Shalach Leis, Rav Chizda, responded back and he sent him that there was the following incident. There was a certain water that the cistern that was, has a bunch of water gathered there in that pit, which they used to water their, to irrigate their fields. Now, the, which was owned by two people. The chol yoyma havadoli chad binau. Every day they would switch off. One guy would fill from the cistern to water his field. Now, asachad kadoli biyem and delay. Once it happened that one of the guys filled it up on not his day. He went in the other guy's day and went to water his field. So amalei. So the other guy said to him, "Yoyma didiyu, this is my day. What nerve? How can you take from it?" Loyashkech, but he didn't pay attention. He kept on drawing the water for his field. So shokol pandu de moramachi. So the guy whose day it was took the handle of the shovel and knocked him. So that's the question. Now that he was humiliated, I want to know how much he has to pay the guy for baishas. So Amalei's Reb Nachum responded. He says, not alone that you can't collect baishas anyway in Bavel, but he says he's not even chayef for baishas. Meyeh pandi bepandi lemachaye. He said the guy should have hit him over 100 times with the handle of the shovel because the guy's stealing his water. And Reb Nachum explains. Says afilamanda amaloi aver inish dinya lenavshei. Even according to the opinion which we're going to shortly quote, that says a person can't take the law in his own hands. Meaning, even if it's rightful law, he knows the halacha. He's not allowed to take it in his own hands. Rather, he has to go to a judge who then tells him what to do. Even according to that opinion, but b'makom b'seder, when it's a situation of immediate loss, if he's going to go to court. In other words, by the time it takes him to get to the judge and go, this guy would have already drawn all his water, and either he's not going to know how much water he drew to be able to collect from him, or maybe the guy's going to use up all the water from the pit, and he's not going to have to what to pay him back anyway, so he's going to definitely have a loss. In such a situation, says Rav Nachman, aver inish dinya l'nafshei. Everyone would agree he could take the law in his own hands. So the fact that he hit him, that's something that's rightfully that he's allowed to do, because this guy was taking his water, and therefore, forget about it, you cannot collect the baishas, there is no liability for baishas in that situation. As he explains the idma, like we learned, there's the following machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, loy aver inish dinya l'nafshei. A person cannot do justice by himself. You can't be this guy who's going to take the law into his own hands. Rav Nachman Amar, no, aver inish dinya l'nafshei. If a person knows this is right, he could execute the law on his own. Now, so even though there is that machlekes, but heichad de'ikah b'seder, where it's going to be a loss if he's going to wait till he gets to the judge, kul amar le'pligi de aver inish dinya l'nafshei, everyone would agree that he could take the law into his own hands. And the reason being is because ki pligi heichad de'ikah b'seder. Their whole machlekes was when there's not going to be a loss. So what was the machlekes? Rabbi Yehuda Amar loy aver inish dinya l'nafshei. He holds you cannot take the law into your own hands. Why? The kivin de'ikah b'seder, since it's not going to be a loss, it's just a matter of time. Lezel kamei dinah, so go in front of a judge. That's your requirement, where the judge has to go ahead and paskin and decide the law. Rav Nachman Amar, he says, no, aver inish dinya l'nafshei, a person, even if there wouldn't be a loss going to the judge, you could still take the law into your own hands, because the kivin debedin of it, since you're doing rightful what is the law, loy tarach. So therefore, we didn't require him to go through the exertion and the effort to go to the judge and get the thing. No, you could take the law in his own hands, and therefore you could do it by yourself. But either way, Rav Nachman is saying, everyone would agree, like in that case, b'makom seder, that he could take the law into his own hands. Now, once we introduce this machlekes, the Gemara now discusses this topic of aver inish dinya l'nafshei. Master Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asked from the following braisa on Rav Yehuda's opinion. The braisa says, ben bagbag oimer, the Tana ben bagbag says, al tikanis l'chatzach havercha. Don't go into your friend's courtyard sneakily and stealthily to steal, litel es shalcha, shalaber shos, to take what's really yours without permission, because shema tira lov kaganam, you might seem like a thief. So really you're taking back your thing, but don't go sneakingly and taking it back. Ella, rather what you do is, shrever shinav, break his teeth, in other words, take it with force, which essentially means the halacha of aver inish dinya l'nafshei, vamalei, and say to him, shali anaitel, I'm taking my thing. But don't go sneaking, because then you look like a ganav. Go, open up the door, say, look, you're going to give me this thing right now, because this is mine. Well, one thing we see is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because we see that a person, even though it's not a case of a loss, he can go to the judges. We see that he can take the law in his own hands, even though there's no loss. So, Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda tell to Rav Kahana, as we continue the top of Chaf Chesam and Aleph, Imach? What, it's with you? In other words, do you think that it's fitting in your eyes, this response you're asking on me from this Braisa? Or the interpretation is, with you. You could keep this question, it's not worth anything, it's not difficult on me. Because ben bagbag yichidahu, ben bagbag is an individual tana. Upligi rabban alah, and the rabbanan disagree. Of course, not difficult on me. A person cannot take the law in his own hands. That's a das yachid, but the rabbanan disagree. Another approach, Rabbi Anai Amar, he says, you know why it's not difficult on Rabbi Huda? Because my shaver eshinav, what does it mean he could break his teeth? It doesn't mean he's going to go take the law in his own hands. Bedin, it means with justice. go and bring him to court, and then you get your thing, but don't sneak in. But when it says that break his teeth, it doesn't mean do it yourself. It means do it yourself through the judges. Now, on this interpretation of Biyanai, the Gemara, however, asks, Ihachi, if that was the case, then why does it say v'amarloi, and tell him I'm taking my thing? It's v'aymrimloi, that they tell him, meaning that the court tells that guy that he's taking his thing, mibayle. That's what it should have said. Moreover, sheliani naitel, why does it say that I'm going to take my thing? It should have said shalohu naitel mibayle. It should have said that he's going to take his thing, because it's the judges that's talking, and not him. So the Moses Kasha is definitely difficult, according to Biyanai's interpretation and resolution of this brice of Rabbi Huda. But either way, either you have Rabbi Yanni's answer or you have the first answer of the Gemara, which Rabbi Huda would say that it's not a difficulty from this halacha because that's like a das yachad ben magbag, and there is no difficulty in my opinion, which I hold, that a person cannot take the law in his own hands, a person cannot be other inish, dil nafshe, except, like Rav Nachman had said and pointed out, but if the Makam Seydid, then everyone would agree that other inish, dil nafshe.